John chapter 14 and verse number 19, we're just going to take a few words out of this. And Jesus was, John 14, 15, and 16, he starts telling them he's going to be leaving. One leaving was he was going to die, and the other leaving he was going to heaven. But at the end of verse number 19, he says this: because I live, you will live also. Because I live. You see, before Jesus came, and even while he was here, no matter if you were Jew or Gentile, you were spiritually dead. The Jews had a sacrifice that covered their sin, but it never removed it. The Gentiles basically had nothing. Fact is, Paul writes that they were foreigners and aliens separated from the kingdom of God. Jesus has always been and was always alive. And so he had to come, and you know this, give his life so that mankind could have life. But not only did he have to come and die, it wasn't done if there was no resurrection. Paul says, if there's no resurrection, you are to be most pitied, and you're still dead in your trespasses and sins. So Good Friday without Easter was nothing. And Easter we wouldn't have if there hadn't been Good Friday. And so it took both those times to bring about the fact that you and I could have eternal life. Now, Jesus had a problem. Even though the disciples saw the empty tomb, even though Peter and John went into the empty tomb, they still didn't believe. They didn't believe in the resurrection. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16 that Jesus rebuked them because of their unbelief, and they didn't believe the people that saw him. You know, it's no different than today. There are people sitting in churches right now all over this nation who are going because it's Easter. They're C&E Christians. They're Christmas and Easter Christians. And they're not Christians. They're religious. And they're sitting in churches, hearing the scripture, but not paying attention to it because they're more interested in ham and sweet potatoes and lemon pie. God help me, I said that. You know, senility hits everybody. And so, as they're sitting there listening to this, it's no different than the disciples, because the Bible says when they came to tell the disciples that Jesus was risen, it seemed like nonsense. In chapter 7 of John, his own family did not believe in him, that he was who he said he was. Even though Mary could have told them about the virgin birth, his own brothers didn't believe that he was God. And so it took a few more things to convince them. Keep in mind, because he lives, you will live also. If he is dead, you have no spiritual life. Period. Because there's no religion that's going to get you to where you want to go. There's no cult that's going to get you to where you want to go. If you're not tied up in Christ, you're tied up in something that's a loser. It's just lost. I love the way you're shouting. But it's fact. And so Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's look at it. Kirk mentioned it this morning earlier. I'm not going to spend a lot of time in it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 8, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." How many believe he died for you? Okay. "And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." How many believe that?
Yes.
Some of you aren't quite sure. "And that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and last of all he was seen by me also as one born out of due time." Five 500 people can't all be wrong. 500 people who were willing to die for him, and 12 who 11 did die for him, can't be wrong. As we've told you before, people don't die for a myth. If you struggle with the resurrection, think of something. How brave were the disciples before the resurrection? What were they doing? They were running. So let me ask you a question. Where did they get the courage then to go and take on Roman soldiers and steal the body? Where'd the courage come from? They never did it. They were still cowards, because the Bible said they were still behind closed doors hiding. Think about it. Think about the fact that the Pharisees and the chief priests had to pay soldiers to lie about the facts, what really happened. You realize that the lie that the Roman soldiers told could have cost them their lives? And they were paid money. Why do you have to pay somebody money to tell the truth? Come on. You're smarter than that. You pay money to cover up the truth. Thirdly, anyone who broke the seal on the tomb was subject to death. How many of you are going to go dig up a grave to steal a body if you knew the penalty would be death? Things don't add up. And so we come to the reality of the whole picture. The Bible is true, and the skeptics are liars. Love the way you're shouting. You don't like that word, huh? There are things that are fat out lies, and we don't entertain them. We don't bring them in because they're false. How could a dead Jesus save you from your sins? If Jesus was dead, we'd be just a bunch of alcoholics and drug addicts sitting here this morning thinking about the good time we had last night. Are we okay? There are some things that you don't debate. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not debatable. It's fact. How do I know it? Because he changed me. He changed me. Thomas, the last one of the disciples to believe, I believe, if you look at the Bible. And the disciples came to Thomas, and Thomas said, unless I put my fingers in his hands, in the nail prints, and put my hand in his side, I will not, what? Believe. I won't believe. Jesus came and said, here's my hands, and here's my side. I got one more thing to tell you about the resurrection. When the disciples went into the tomb, they noticed something that we don't talk about, but it's very evident. How many's ever stole anything? How many just hung around till you got caught? Do you realize that the Bible says in John 20 that Jesus' handkerchief, his face cover, was folded and put it where he was laying? Who's going to steal a body and take time to fold the clothes? Think about it. Who's going to break in somewhere and take time to clean up the mess after they stole what they wanted? You get out of there. Because he lives, we live also. The Bible says that every one of us, and if you haven't accepted Jesus and living for him, you still are. We're dead in our sins and trespasses. Every one of us. Every one of us has the same story. Even though it may vary different on some of the circumstances, we have the story that we were lost without hope and dead without Christ. But the Bible says, but God, who was rich in mercy, wherewith, when we were still dead in our sins and trespasses, gave us life. Gave us life. There comes a time we have to choose life instead of death. There comes a time we have to choose forgiveness instead of staying in my sins. There's a time we choose hope instead of despair. There's time we choose freedom instead of bondage. There's a time we choose life instead of death. But God loves us so much, he lets us make that decision, even to our own peril. He'll try to get your attention. He knocked Saul off a horse, but Saul still had to come to Jesus. He went to the disciples, but the disciples had to come to a place, I'm going to receive. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, then that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. There's all kinds of people out there that really think they're living. They really think they're living. I'm doing my own thing. I'm making my own choices. I'm living my own life. I'm going to do it the way I want. Really? Really? I talked to a young man the other day that took one shot of meth and was hooked. Sounds like living your own life. There's young people around here killing themselves. That sounds like great choices. Not putting him down. I preached one of the funerals a couple weeks ago. There are kids that I talk to that says life not important. Life is empty. Life is useless. Life is hopeless. Really? I'll tell you what life is. Life is fun. Life is enjoyable. Life is peaceful. Life's exciting. You tell me that leading someone to Jesus Christ isn't a high? And then you know you're going to spend eternity with them? I love that, still standing by some grave of somebody who couldn't face the future. Jesus Christ, it's going to sound, and maybe Kirk can put it in better words, is the greatest thing that's ever happened to people. It's the greatest life you can ever live. And you know something? Jesus, if you run away from him, will be waiting there when you come back. Jesus, if you curse him and swear at him and do all kinds of things and get angry with him, he's still there. You'll say, come on back. I love you. I'll forgive you. Just humble yourself. You have never, and we sang about it this morning, you have never been loved by anyone until you accept the love of Jesus Christ like God can do. It can't happen. Because he lives, every one of us have the opportunity to live forever. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he who lives and believes in me shall what? Never die. If you live for Jesus, you only have one time to die. That's only physically. If you don't live for Jesus, you have two times to die. One is physically and one is spiritually, and you'll be lost. It's fact. Like Cy would say, it's fact, Jack. My buddy on Duck Dynasty. True. True. Because he lives, I live. Secondly, because he lives, and this is from the song that Bill Gaither wrote, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I want you to think about that. What does tomorrow hold? I want to tell you something, and I just started thinking about it yesterday. Tomorrow depends on how you're thinking, what it holds. Am I thinking temporary or am I thinking eternal? If I'm thinking temporary, tomorrow can be scary and frightful and nervous and worrisome. If I'm thinking eternal, tomorrow just another day in my life toward heaven. Why don't you think about that? If you're all wrapped up in everything that's temporary, okay, how many got your eyes open? Everything you're looking at right now, don't close your eyes, is temporary. Everything. Even your body is going to be changed. So if you're facing life with a temporary attitude, I'm going to tell you right now, you're in trouble. Big trouble. Because the Bible says everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and the only thing that can't be shaken is those on the foundation. Who's the foundation?
Jesus.
If you're a young person and you're thinking about college and marriage and all this kind of stuff and going through this, that's fine. But don't live there. Don't live in the temporary. You have to live in the eternal. Now, here's what happens. So many people live in the temporary and they're hoping that there is no eternal. They live their life for what they can get out of it. They live their life for what they can make and how they can live and what I can drive and what I can smoke or what I can drink or sex or whatever it might be. And they're living this temporary, but they fail to realize that the eternal someday is going to slap them in the face. It's going to rise up and bite them. Because no matter how they're living, there's always God. Say it with me. There's always God. You're always going to face him. No matter even if you don't believe him, you're going to face him. You're going to bow your knee and you're going to confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. No matter. Please listen to me. That is the reality of life. When we put everything in the temporary, it's all going to crumble, and all that's going to be left is God. Just going to be God. And you know something? You can't con him. You may con your parents. You may con your boss. You may con your dad and mom. You may con your school teacher. But God knows you better than you know yourself. And he looks right through you, and he knows why you're doing what you're doing and why you're living the way you're living, and it comes to an end. Boom. For the believer, we don't have to con him. We can just say, here I am, God. Here I am, Daddy. He says, come on in. The sad part are those who are living their life now for the temporary and think that the eternal is just going to bow to their temporary desires. Doesn't happen. We okay? Amen. Give me 5 more minutes. And after that, I'll ask for another 10. It's fact. Christians, look at me. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. You don't have to worry about the government deficit. You don't have to worry about who's in the White House. Pray for them.
Right.
Don't have to worry about what God is doing. And you don't have to worry about climate change. I wish our climate would change. I'd vote for Gore. No, I wouldn't. It'd be nice. My neighbor was walking by yesterday, and he said, boy, what a beautiful day. I said, are we crazy? And he looked at me and said, what, 40 degrees? And we're saying, what a beautiful day? We're nuts. We've been conned. But for the believer, you don't have to worry about the temporary. God's in charge of the temporary and the eternal. And you can walk this life out with faith. For those of you whose life hinge on the temporary, is based on the temporary, you're living only in the temporary, you've got some issues. Because things are going to change, as we said before. When I close my Bible, it doesn't mean anything. I got it in here and up here. It's like the preacher preaching, and all of a sudden he takes off his watch, and this young kid about Isaac's age looks at his dad and says, Dad, what does that mean when he takes his watch off? He says, not a thing. Not a thing. Some of you may not be living for the Lord because you look at your life and says, I've messed up. I've just messed up. And why does God want me anyway? And I'm not even sure God would forgive me. I got 2 simple, real illustrations just to leave with you, let you think about. Jesus warned Peter that he was going to do what? Deny him. He was going to deny him. At one point he looked at Peter and said, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but when you return, strengthen your brethren. And Peter says, and Jesus looks at him and says, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. Peter says, no, Lord, I'm even willing to die for you. How many know what happened? Three times a little girl comes to him and says, you're one of his, aren't you? No, I don't know him. The last time the Bible says he cursed and swore. How many like to have him on your team? So the angel in Mark 16, when Jesus is resurrected, comes to Mary and tells her specifically, go tell his disciples and Peter that he was risen. And Peter, the liar, the betrayer, the denier. Then there was a man by the name of Saul. Got letters from the high priest to go put Christians in jail and even see him die. He was there holding the coats of those who stoned Stephen. On the road to Damascus, he has an amazing experience with God. He got knocked off his horse. And Paul says later in 1 Timothy, I was a persecutor and a destroyer of the church. But Jesus said, I've called you for this purpose to make you. I want you to think for a moment. Do you really think, this sounds crazy, do you think that your sins were worse than Peter's or Paul's? And that because of your sin, God has rejected you? And will reject you if you come? Really? Sin is sin in the eyes of God. Your sins are no worse or no better than anybody else's. Today's the day. I felt as I was preparing this, and God just twisted it all around. I can show you what I have written down. I can show you what I'm preaching. It's homecoming. It's time to come home. It's time to quit running. It's time to quit making excuses. It's time to stop telling God he can't forgive me. It's time to come to a place of reality in your own heart. And let me tell you something. For most people who have lived for Christ and turned back, they feel that they can't do it or they don't want to do it. It's time to come back. It's time to face reality. You are loved as much as anyone else in the whole world. God has no favorites. You cannot deny, because you know, for God so loved the world, he did what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We're all whosoever's. Today's the day. Today's the day to get it right. Not because I said so, but because God is saying so. Today's the day to come back. Your life might be a mess or it might be perfectly in order, you think, and you're walking this life out and God is saying, you're missing something. You're missing me. This is the day.